Maybe. Yes, sir!
Michiana's sports leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT, presents...
Johnny, that's better than most.
How about him?
That is better than most. Better than most!
The Golf Show.
I'm a big believer in fate. I have a good feeling about this. That's all I'm going to tell you.
We welcome you to the Golf Show on Michiana Sports Leader, 96.1 FM, WSBT. Good Saturday morning to everyone. My name is Darren Pritchett. I am joined by my favorite co-host, Tim Firestone, the owner at Blackthorn Golf Club, and of course, John Foster, the general manager at Notre Dame's Warren. Guys, good morning. Good to talk to you.
Good morning, Darren.
Good morning, Darren.
I missed you guys last week.
I know.
Little under the weather. So
yeah, I understand.
I heard you guys were fantastic as always. You did not disappoint, so I appreciate that.
Probably our best show you ever did, don't you think, John?
Yep, by far, at least. Well, by the way, who'd you hear that from, Darren, that we were fantastic?
Oh, at least 72 people.
Yeah, right.
It was all over Twitter.
58 females and 14 males, as a matter of fact. So there you go.
Yeah, we have I know a female-heavy listening audience
yes.
out there.
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. And we give you full credit, John, so thank you for that.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you guys had a good week for golf, right? Notre Dame's Warren, Blackthorn. I assume you guys were very busy this week?
Yeah, it was a good week.
It really was. Yep. A little chilly on Friday. But, yeah, due to the blue-gold game, we were busy anyway. So.
Excellent. Hey. It's a busy, busy week, you know, with all the alumni coming back for the Blue Gold game, which you can hear later today on WSBT Radio at 12:30. See, Foster's like a pro. He's
already teed
like
you
teasing.
Up, baby. I teed you up. I know.
Very good. Well, first things first, one of the big news from the world of golf centered around Tiger Woods as he continues to try to come back from back surgery. Well, now he has to come back from more back surgery. And expected recovery time, guys, is 6 months. He has played in one tournament this year. He made the announcement on his official website Thursday that he has underwent back surgery once again in effort to lessen pain in his back and leg. Woods said, quote, "The surgery went well, and I'm optimistic this will relieve my back spasms and pain. When healed, I look forward to getting back to a normal life, playing with my kids, competing in professional golf, and living without pain. I've been battling so long." End quote. The announcement noted therapy failed as a permanent solution after three previous surgeries and past herniations caused other problems. So, again, recovery time, 6 months. He's not getting any younger, and we've talked about this for many, many years. In fact, since we started this program, this has been going on. And Mr. Firestone made the comment in our first show that Tiger will never, ever win another major. And Mr. Firestone's ready to cash in Las Vegas, I think, any day.
That's right.
It's looking awfully good. It just gets more dire. Every month goes by. It just doesn't seem like the body will ever allow him to get back. And I don't know what you guys think. Let's just think optimistic. 2 years from now, he feels good as he's ever going to be, and he's going to try to pick up the game again. But can he be competitive in today's golf? That's what I'd like to know.
I don't see it happening. I think this is, you know, a proverbial nail in the coffin. I think that... Yeah, you got. At some point, he's going to say, "Do I want to like live my life with my kids and be able to just live a normal life, or am I going to try to push this and come back and try to prove to the world that I can play again?" I just don't. I don't see it. I don't think it's going to happen.
No, I think it's got to be strictly ego at this point, because I'm not so sure. I'd love to give him a lie detector test on how much he really misses being on tour and playing and competing. I don't know. I just got to believe that he would not enjoy it unless he's dominant. And if you think about it, his whole career, basically, when he was on tour, he was dominant. So trying to take kind of a subservient role out on tour, he's not going to do. So whether he can do it physically or not, I don't think if he does attempt to come back, I think the results are going to be, like Tim said, to the point where he's just not going to want to compete anymore. So I don't think he's a factor. I'm a little bit surprised at all the press this is getting, because so what, he's having another surgery. I mean, it's kind of old news at this point.
Yeah, and you bring up a good point, John. I mean, at the end of the day, Tiger really only got geeked up for four events a year, and those were the four majors. So
that's
it's
right.
Not like he was out there.
Or his foundation events.
Yeah, and Arnie, even that, I don't think even really, maybe Arnie, maybe that, maybe Firestone. But, you know, at the end of the day, he had 4 weeks a year that he was really pumped for. So how much is he really missing it is a good point.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I you know, as you guys know, I had very similar back surgery to what he had. And by the way, it did end my career on tour, too. So that we
But, well, John, speak to having the surgeries then and how it affected you and how different your swing is pre- and post-back surgeries.
You know, honestly, I mean, I'm a really poor example when it comes to that, but it was very similar surgery. I had the I had the fusion and the laminectomy and the rod in my back, and stuff, and it's actually hasn't hurt since. It's been 10 years. I lost no mobility. I mean, it just, now, that was my first and only. I know he's had a series of these, and I don't know specifically what he had, but I don't think physically, I mean, if I were good before I had the surgery, I think I would have been just as good afterwards. So I don't think that's an issue. I just think it's more of a drive. Even if physically he's okay, I'll go back to my point that I was making and Tim was making too. I just don't see it. I really don't. And you know what, guys? Golf doesn't need him right now.
And I'll get to that. That's going to be one of my follow-up questions.
Oh, I'm sorry. Ahead.
No, that's okay.
Well, and I think the other thing, too, listening today and watching Twitter and the different feedback on people's opinion of this about how he has to come back because he has all these sponsors and he has all these people that are... The dude's got like 400 or 500 million. You know, I don't think he's really worried about, you know, a $150,000, you know, logo with AT&T on his chest. I mean, that's not what's going to drive him. What's going to drive him is if he thinks he's competitive enough to win more majors. And to your point, I don't think he thinks he is.
It's fair to say he has not been overly competitive even the last 7-8 years.
Not since 2012 when he won five events and he was you know,
so we'll call it
majors,
5-6 years. 5-6 years of not being Tiger Woods. But yet you turn on television coverage of a PGA Tour event, or if you have the Golf Channel on, one of their many shows covering the tour, one of the commercials that now pops up is all the crowd on the golf course gathering around to see what Tiger Woods' new golf ball is. And it's a Bridgestone golf ball. It's a brand new commercial. So it just shows you, even though he is not playing, he has not won a major in 10 years, on down the line, we can list all these things. It is still such a brand name that even when he's not playing, his name attached to something in the game of golf means something. And Bridgestone obviously saw something very big in Tiger, and they probably had small expectations going in. Maybe they're hoping to hit the jackpot. But it just shows you someone was willing to throw down, I'm sure, a pretty good amount of money just to have Tiger Woods use their golf ball.
I believe that the Bridgestone deal, and John may know more about this than me, but there's certainly... It was probably a good chunk of change, but also heavily performance-based.
You think so?
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. I think that at this point in his career, it's one of these things where, hey, we'll give you, you know, a couple $100,000, but if you win a tournament, you're going to get this. If you win a major, you're going to get $1.5 million or $2 million. I think that's what it was.
Right.
But back to your Tiger Woods thing and a couple things on sponsorships and the Bridgestone thing. I mean, this is not uncommon. You know, Arnold Palmer and Jack Nicklaus promoted companies and products all the way till they're, you know, they're still doing it. And Jack's still doing it.
Right.
So that's not unusual for someone like Tiger, who, by the way, I think you could argue has had more impact on his sport than any other athlete in professional sports of what he did to golf and why people are so so still intrigued with Tiger. What he did for the game of golf in the 90s and the popularity was remarkable.
Right. Yeah, I was going to make the same point, Tim, that the, you know, you get the iconic athletes, whether it's golf or whatever, and after their playing career is over, they still generate a lot of money from sponsorships. I think of it, I'm dating myself a little bit, but Arnold Palmer and Hertz, I don't know, do you guys remember that?
I do.
He was Hertz. He put Hertz rental car on the map. Nobody knew who they were before he stepped out in front of that.
I thought that was OJ.
So, no, he didn't rent it. He stole one. God. So, I mean, there's money to be made, and he wasn't as beloved as Palmer. I think, well, I can't say that. Maybe at one point he was. I know that Nicklaus was. And Nicklaus, especially when he was younger and when he was playing more competitively, he wasn't nearly as beloved as he is now. I think if it's money, Tim's right. He can do it after. He doesn't have to play in order to make money from endorsements. And, yeah, I'm not worried about whether he's going to be financially secure into the future, whether he plays or not. I think he's okay.
The Golf Show here on WSBT Radio. Darren Pritchett, John Foster, Tim Firestone here on WSBT Radio. You mentioned Nicklaus. Why was he not received so well early on in his career? Was he a little gristly? I know he kind of took over for Arnie, and maybe that had something to do with it. Why was Jack not revered right away?
I think it's because he was beating Arnie. He was kicking his rear end, and people didn't like that. Was a part of it.
Yeah, I think that was how it got started. And, I mean, to this day, he's not exactly the most charismatic guy in the world when you hear him speak. And I just think he lacked charisma. And as a result, you know, he did get the reputation as the guy that was beating up on Arnold Palmer, and that made nobody happy. And I don't think he had enough charisma necessarily to overcome that. And you know, people came to like the guy once that other situation seemed to fade a little bit. But he's just, and I'd say the same thing for Tiger Woods. He's not exactly the most charismatic guy in the world.
No.
I mean, do you guys agree? Sitting down and having a cup of coffee with him would be kind of boring, I would think. Can't say that about Palmer.
Oh, without a doubt. That was it. ESPN had that in-depth article on Tiger last year. We talked about that. I mean, mm-hmm. He comes across just as a different individual, and you wonder if it's just because of the way he was brought up. He was almost like built to be a robot and to be a professional golfer, and who knows how much time he had to enjoy being a kid.
It's a Todd Marinovich thing, and if anybody remembers him, that was. And so the social skills never really developed, and in Tiger's case, it never really had a chance to develop. So, it doesn't make him a bad guy. It's just from an endorsement standpoint, I don't think his playing career will have to speak for itself because I don't think anything else will.
And, Tim, just to go back to what you started to talk about, that Tiger took the tour to another level like we've never seen before, and I don't know if anyone will ever have an impact like him again, but I don't know if you guys happened to catch probably a month ago when Fahity debuted on the Golf Channel. Is that how you say his name? It's just not Fahity.
That's how you say it.
Fahity. But anyway, he had Phil Mickelson on, and it was a two-hour presentation. I have not seen the second hour, but in the first hour, Phil was very upfront and said, I owe a lot of everything I have to Tiger Woods.
I always wondered,
would I have the opportunity to play for $1 million purse or $1 million winner's check? And he really didn't think that was going to happen. And sure enough, it didn't take long into Tiger's run that the tour is now playing for $1 million first place check, and the numbers continue to go up. And guys, without a doubt, no matter what you think about Tiger, and I think there's as many people that do not like him as like him. I know there's some people in our area that saw him at Point of Woods and were turned off by him. Other people saw him up there and thought he was a very interesting individual. So it's wide-ranging. But the fact that Tiger got on the golf course and did these amazing things just brought so much more attention to the game of golf. And I'll say this, too, and this was documented recently on a piece about Tiger. I think a lot of golf experts are surprised that more minorities did not pick up the game when Tiger started dominating. But overall, more people got interested in the game of golf. And I think, like it or not, Tiger has a lot to do with that.
I'm not denying that. I mean, he contributed a lot to the popularity. Now, the point I'll argue, and Tim and I have had a lot of discussions about this, is that when he burst onto the scene, the National Golf Foundation and primarily were the ones that were promoting the fact that, look out, because every inner city youth in the country is going to be playing golf in 10 years, so we need to build a bunch of golf courses. And a lot of that was based upon what they call the Tiger Woods effect, and it simply did not happen. And that's one of the reasons we have an extreme overpopulation of golf holes in this country. So other things contributed. You know, a robust real estate market that kind of went away because a lot of these golf courses were based upon building and housing additions in order to sell more lots and more houses. So, he definitely grew the game, but not to the extent that everybody was predicting.
Final question I want to ask you guys in this segment, centered around Tiger Woods. I think it's fair to say, barring a remarkable turnaround, the Tiger Woods era is, for the most part, over. Maybe there might be a couple of times he comes out of nowhere. Who knows? But let's be realistic. We're at this point. We're not seeing any differences. A fourth back surgery, there are complications. How ready is the PGA Tour to survive and move on from one of the more popular eras in golf history? Now, don't get me wrong. Jack and Arnie and Gary, that's an era. I don't know if anything's going to touch, but Tiger in his era did some amazing things. Is the tour on such a good foundation, guys, that you feel like if Tiger Woods does not start a PGA Tour event again, that you will continue to see people turning on the television to watch these events, to watch the Golf Channel, and to be honest, get the gumption to go out and play golf themselves?
That's a great question.
I think they have moved on. I mean, you ask, can they move on? I think they have. He's not been relevant on tour for the last 5 years, really. So he's been relevant in the sense that he's generated a lot of publicity, but none of it has to do with his performance on the course. So I think they're well positioned. And I think if you gave the tour, directors, a test and could actually, get the truth out of them, they would say the same thing. I don't think they're concerned at all that Tiger Woods is not going to be part of the landscape going into the future. Tim, what's your thought on that?
Yeah, I mean, I certainly think they're disappointed because if he does play and would have played and could have gotten healthy and could have been competitive, it would have been great for ratings. But I think I heard the Masters ratings were down this year, which is hard to believe. But I think ratings in general are down, right? NFL ratings are down, NHL ratings are down, everybody's
so
ratings
many
are down,
channels, so. Guys. There are so many channels to choose from. You've got other mediums, radio, movie theaters, and people just are outdoing things once again.
When you talk about ratings too, does that's not counting the people that stream the Masters, right?
That's a great
point.
And
that's what I did during work days, right? Yeah, well, I was actually working while I did it. And I'm in the golf business, so that's considered work, I guess.
Yeah, you were researching.
Exactly. Because I know a lot of our athletic directors are big fans of the show, and so they're probably listening right now. So the ones that actually know there is a show. So, I put that back on Darren, don't you, Tim, for not promoting us enough?
That's right.
Well, if John's not with us next week, folks, we won't give a reason, but you will now know why. we'll just play back that comment right there.
There's a whole lot of other reasons that they could, that I wouldn't be back next week that has nothing to do with this discussion here. So,
fair enough.
Okay.
All right.
On that note,
I don't have any way to turn the direction of this boat, man. It's going over Niagara Falls. I'm going to let John just go by himself. John Foster, Tim Firestone, Darren Pritchett, this is The Golf Show. We'll take a timeout when we come back. We'll talk about professional golf coming to South Bend, a sports beat. The Golf Show continues on Michiana Sports
Leader.
There
you go, John.
There I go again. Yep. I don't even care about you guys, do I?
You don't, do you?
Uh-huh. See, you don't know how many times I say you're listening to The Golf Show during the week.
Yeah, I listen to your show a lot.
I've never heard it. I'll do it three times
the next time I'm on the air. I promise. The Golf Show with the greatest co-host of all time on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM WSBT. The Golf Show on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM WSBT continues along with John Foster, the general manager at Notre Dame's Warren. We've got Tim Firestone, the owner at Blackthorn. My name is Darren Pritchett, thanks for joining us on this Saturday morning. Well, these two gentlemen are doing great things, of course, for the game of golf in our area on a daily basis. And as we look at bigger picture items, Tim has brought professional golf to Blackthorn with the Four Winds Invitational on the Symetra Tour. And John, a big part of the reason why the USGA is bringing the U.S. Senior Open to Notre Dame's Warren in 2019. So guys, first, thank you for bringing professional golf to our area. For this size of market to have these two events, I think we should feel pretty lucky.
Absolutely.
Brag, come on.
No, well, basically, Tim and I bringing professional golf to this area is a compensation for the fact that we couldn't play professional golf. So there, that's the motivation right there.
That's exactly right.
It's somewhat selfish, though, and I know Tim's the same way. I really enjoy doing events, and this is, it's a daunting task. You know, it's been going on prior to even the announcement for 4 or 5 years here, and then we got another, 2.5 years or so before the event itself. But I like doing it, and I know my staff likes it, and the community has embraced, the concept as we move forward. And I think there's evidence from Tim's event out there. I think one could argue it's the most successful event on the Symetra Tour, and that's not by mistake. So this community, I think, is a... Well, I know that the USGA, when we talked originally, likes a market like this. Rather than going to Chicago, where they've got all kinds of things going on at the same time of year, and they have sporting events day in, day out, a market like this is somewhat starved for big-time professional events, and I think that's why Tim's seen the response he's seen, and we're looking forward to what, at least preliminarily, the indication's been we're going to have a major response for the Senior Open.
I would agree with you. Just you take a look at the South Bend Cubs, when you brought in an owner that was going to take care of the fans and make them feel like a part of the team and bring them an environment. You can bring the family out, a clean ballpark with great food.
Yep.
Look at the results. So there is no doubt. I think you're right. This is a market that loves sports, and just look at all the people coming out for sporting events. John, as you think back to when the process started, the USGA was looking for a home for the 19 championship. What do you think the USGA looks for when they visit a golf course? And maybe you can just offer an example of something at your course that could help offer that explanation.
That's a great point. And they will tell you, this isn't something that they called me up and said, hey, we'd like to consider you guys for the 2019 Senior Open. This process was a lot different in that for a period of about 8 years, I was kind of betting on the come a little bit in that I hosted a bunch of USGA qualifiers. I think it's been 14 over the past 14 or 15 years, where you give your golf course up for the day, and they do this, the U.S. Open, U.S. Am, Publinks, and then we hosted the Women's Publinks in 2010. Again, a money loser, but you're kind of auditioning, and they're kind of evaluating the golf course and how it holds up to this type of player and that type of player. So when ultimately, I wrote them a letter that said we would like to be considered for a major championship. It was even vague at that point what that might be. They sent people here, and we walked the golf course, and we walked it with Core, and we walked it with Crenshaw, and they were saying that they start with a golf course and they make everything else work from there. So they love the fact that the golf course tests, they feel it would test the best players in the world, every facet of their game, short game, driving the ball, iron play, bunker play. So they felt that the course was stern enough test. And then they looked at the infrastructure and the logistics around Notre Dame and how we could handle these things. For instance, this year at Salem Country Club in Boston, they've got a huge parking issue because it's a private club, an old club. They're busing people in from over a mile away, which isn't untypical. Well, we got them walking across the street from White Field here, and you keep going on down the line of the thing. So, but basically, Darren, make a long a short answer to the question. They love the golf course. They love the design, and they think it'll, as I say, provide a stern test for the players. The other stuff, they'll make work no matter what.
Tim, as you think about that golf course that you know very, very well at Notre Dame's Warren, what do you think the golfers are going to enjoy when they come here in 2019?
I think it's the variety of shots and the variety of holes and the ability to hit some, the bump and run shots and all the different shots they get to play, I think there is really what they're going to enjoy the most. And I think it'll be a great venue. I think it'll be a good test. I'm anxious to see what the scores will be. I mean, if you play the tips out there with these guys, I mean, it's going to be a challenge. They're good, but it's going to, I think it's going to beat them up.
It's interesting, Tim, because, we get the casual player out here that's like, God, those guys are they're going to be 25, 30 under. And it's like, we held the Senior Open qualifier 2 years ago, and we had, I think it was 12 or 13 of the Senior Tour players here. And I got to be honest, we may have talked about it before, but the golf course was set up short. It was done by, it wasn't done by the USGA. It was done by someone else, and I had no input. It was set up at 6,700 yards instead of the 7,000 we're going to see in 19. The hole locations were vanilla. Everything was in the middle of the green, and the greens were not stimping above 9.5. That's what they wanted. And the best score that was shot was Mike Reed shot 69. It was, and they played it to a par 71. We're going to be playing par 70. So Mike was 2 under, and that was the best score. He was the only one that broke par. And that I agree with Tim. I mean, we don't want it won't be stupid hard, but I think it's a little bit deceiving.
I'd be
look
shocked
at it
if anybody got it to like 5 or 6 under.
I agree, Tim. I do. And, you know, they won't trick the greens up, but they're going to be stimping about 10.5 or so. And the greens are so tiny, as you know. So, and I know this, you know, they're playing our 10th hole, which will be number one, championship one, 475-yard par four. The second hole, which is our 11th hole, as of that par three, they're playing at 245.
Oh,
we've never played it back there. I forgot that tee box was even there.
Do you guys even mow it?
Yeah, we do kind of mow it. Yeah. But anyway, I mean, they're not taking it easy on the old guys, that's for sure. So, yeah, I'm curious too.
John, number two as we play it right now, is that going to be a par four?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, we'll only have 2 par 5s, and okay. That'll be our current 17th hole and then the current 5th hole. Yeah.
5 and 17. Okay, very good.
Yeah.
So that's coming in 2019, the U.S. Senior Open, and actually a member of the South Bend Cubs staff was out at Warren this week, and apparently you have signs up in the clubhouse signifying that because they were asking me about the U.S. Senior Open coming in 2019.
Oh, that's great. Yep. Yeah, no, we've actually had a very successful week in the hospitality sales area. I think the momentum's building, and all of a sudden we're worried about enough inventory of skyboxes and villas and stuff. So that's a good problem to have as well.
How about that? Tim, have you gotten your polo shirt yet?
No.
I haven't either. Maybe we can contact somebody.
They don't make XXX, so I haven't got mine yet.
Actually, they do.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Maybe it got lost in the mail. That possibly could be the reason, Tim.
Well, nobody, you guys didn't request anything. Gotta ask.
We have to ask? I mean, just imagine all the people that are tuning into this show that could see us right now with these polos on. They would be more excited. No, they can see us.
It's radio, pal. If this were a TV show, you guys would have all the garb, believe me.
Oh, I see. How it goes. Mm-hmm. All right, fair enough. Tim, as you prepare for the summer, any news on the Four Winds Invitational at your place?
No, it's crazy how quickly it's sneaking up on us, especially we moved it up a week. So our media day is just 2 or 3 weeks away, Wednesday, May 17th, to kind of kick it off. All of our media marketing campaigns start here in the next couple weeks. This is crazy how quickly this spring is gone and winter's gone. And we made our first invitation for a sponsor exemption. We'll make that announcement here in the next week. It's a very good local amateur young lady who won the Indiana State tournament when she was in high school. She's won several NCAA events. So we're excited about having her in the field this year. And the Symmetra Tour is off and rolling. They've had 2 or 3 different winners already in their events. And things are going really well, so we're looking forward to a great week of golf, June 5th through the 11th.
I was watching the Golf Channel recently, and one of our favorites that I know you got to know, and just standing by you, I had a chance to visit with her, but Blair O'Neill's television career has kind of taken off on the Golf Channel.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wonder why.
I can't imagine why. Yeah. I'm shocked.
I wasn't going down that road. I was just saying it's funny.
I went down that road.
Yes. Yeah. She's doing quite well. She also has a great presence on social media and Instagram and Twitter, and she's really promoted herself nicely. And she's doing long drive competitions now, too. So she can
really
hit it. Yeah. She can hit
really?
It.
Is she playing competitively now or just doing these type of things?
I don't think she's playing competitively. Maybe some Cactus Tour events, but she never really could make it on the Symmetra Tour.
Right.
I think her putting struggled a little bit, but anyway, she's found her niche in golf. You know, she's
making
a career out of it. A
lot
of
we haven't found ours yet, but someday, pal.
Someday.
Oh. And yeah. By the way, Tim just handed me a Symetra Tour polo shirt. Tim, thank you very much. I greatly appreciate
so
that.
Welcome.
I'll make sure I get you.
It's a ladies.
You know, it'd be very easy to turn Mr. Foster over. There's one little button right here. He's on fire today. He's stealing the show on
us,
Tim.
It's a lot easier to take pot shots when you're not in the same room with someone. You realize that.
So there you go. We've got a lot of things going on. These guys are heavily involved. And why don't you, Tim, mention Symetra Tour dates this year and any other things you want to mention at this point?
Yeah, so June 5th, Monday we start the week off, and there's at 4WinsInvitational.com is the schedule of all the events.
Okay.
The new event that we're introducing, which is just, we're going to make the announcement, we've got a brand new event on Thursday night, a ladies' golf clinic hosted by a local person here in the community who's very involved in golf and charity, who will be kind of our spokesperson for that event. We're really excited about that. We have the 5K on Sunday, June 11th, the Daddy-Daughter Pro-Am, where you can bring your daughter out to play with the players. This year is going to be on Thursday, June the 8th. So 4WinsInvitational.com has all the dates and ways to participate. You can sign up online for all three of those events, and we really would encourage everybody to come on out. And again, this year, Martin Supermarkets, admission is free all tournament long, thanks to Martin Supermarkets. And then also thanks to Applebee's on Sunday, free ice cream, hot dogs, kids games, activities in the kids zone from 10 to 2. So great, very inexpensive way to entertain the family and bring them out to watch some professional golf.
And the ladies are very, very nice to talk to, more than willing to have a conversation. So it's a great atmosphere out at Blackthorn, the 4Winds Invitational. Again, the website is
4WinsInvitational.com.
Simple as that. Golf show continues in just a moment on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM WSBT. Along with John Foster, the general manager at Notre Dame's Warren, and Tim Firestone, the owner at Blackthorn, my name is Darren Pritchett. This is the Golf Show on Michiana Sports Leader 96.1 FM WSBT. The PGA Tour down in Texas this week. Did you happen to see the practice round involving Charlie Hoffman, a guy who played very well at the Masters?
I did not.
Well, he was noticing there was something on his grips. Couldn't figure out what in the world. So the caddy took all the golf clubs out of the bag, and apparently the Easter Bunny had dropped a chocolate-covered Reese's Peanut Butter Cup down in the bottom of the bag. And in the heat of Texas, well, the candy did not hold up very well, and so all of the grips were getting a little sticky. So the Easter Bunny had bad aim, apparently, at Charlie Hoffman's house. So we highly encourage Charlie Hoffman and all other golfers in our area, take care of your grips. Notre Dame's Warren Blackthorn can take care of those grips, because that's the most underutilized thing that golfers probably do not do, and that is changing their grips every year. Because you know what? If you feel the club a little better, if you have a good grip, you're going to hit a little better, right? I mean, seriously, I'm not trying to sell grips.
No, I mean, it's just, it's somewhat common sense. I mean, I honestly, and I know Tim's seen the same thing. Somebody will bring in their clubs for regripping, and you'll see they're circa 1990, you know, links or something. You say, when's the last time you had them regrip? Well, I've never had them regrip. It's 27 years, and it's not uncommon. And, boy, you put on a new, you know, set of grips for people, and they're all like, oh my gosh, like Christmas morning, the clubs are completely different. So, and it's relatively inexpensive. It, as you know, the professional players do it 5 to 6 times a year. People around here that play frequently, we have some guys that change them twice a year. So at least every couple years, I think it makes sense.
And if you don't, at Warren and at Blackthorn, a putter could slip out of your hand like Judge Schmale's and land on one of the umbrellas, and we do not want that.
There you go. Yeah, it's a hazard. Yeah,
and I would encourage people too with the putter grip. Speaking of that, you know, there's a lot of new grips options out there that really are pretty neat to take a look at and play around with. So, and no one really thinks about regrouping the putter that often, like we just talked about. But there really are some cool options now.
What is an example of something new?
Well, the Super Stroke
Love those.
Grips, you know, you got the bigger, they got the mid-size, there's longer down the shaft where you can, you know, play with the grip that way. Now they have this more of a square option. So there's just a lot of different shapes and sizes, I think, that either people have requested or the research and development folks have come up with. But it's really, it's not just your standard old, you know, ping grip anymore.
Right. Yeah, and most of the common putting flaws that everybody suffers from have to do with the wrist breaking down. And the larger you go with the midsize or the larger grip on these things, it kind of locks your wrist out of it. And that's why a lot of the play you see on tour, a lot of these guys use it. I know Tim does. It just prevents you from breaking your wrist because it's a much larger circumference. So it's night and day different. I think you can see an improvement if indeed you struggle with your putting just by putting the right grip on it.
Is the square grip popular compared to the old traditional round grip?
It's becoming more and more popular. Mm. I've got it on the putter I just got, and I love it.
Why does it feel different to you, for example?
It's just the way it fits in my hands. My hands, I have smaller fingers, and for whatever reason, the way that the creases in my palms, it just fits better to make sure that my hands are on equal sides of the putter. It just kind of fits to my hand shape better than a regular round putter.
More of your hand is on the putter as opposed to a really small, you know, grip.
That's a good point.
On a putter, you got your fingers in there, but very little of your palm, and it's just the palm that can provide the stability and take the flippiness and the wristiness out of it. So I just would encourage people to try them. So. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Tim Firestone, John Foster, Darren Pritchett with you, The Golf Show, here on WSBT Radio. Hypothetical question. Since the tour is in Texas this week, they're known for the high winds. So let me just ask this, just for fun. If you're a young player, let's say you're 10 or 11 years old, and your mom and dad, they've got an oil business, money is not an option. You can do whatever you want, okay? The credit card is yours. So if you could live anywhere in the United States, and your goal is to be a professional golfer. You could play anywhere. You could play in the winds of Texas to get better. Maybe go to Florida or California to play on a certain type of grass. If you had your choice, where would you live and why? Who wants to go first?
Wow, that's a good question. I don't know, probably Orlando.
You go for it.
I would say Orlando, Florida. I think that just seems to where a good... cluster of other professionals are there. I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know. Phoenix, too, is getting more and more guys in Phoenix.
Yeah.
But I would go where I could have action, have some other guys to play with that would want to, you know, play a few Nassaus on the off weeks.
Certain zest for living.
Yes. Well, the first criteria is where you could play year-round.
Yes.
That would have to be it. The one thing that I would say, not Florida possibly, is because of the grass types down there. Not that there's anything wrong with a lot of Bermuda, but if you grow up on Bermuda, it's really hard sometimes to convert to bent, to tighter lies and stuff. And again, I mean, the way kids are now, they travel all across the country and play golf anyway before they're 12 years old. But the one thing, I like the Texas thing because of the different elements that come into play, and also the grass types, because you do see some zoysia, you do see some rye, you do see basically burned out patches, you know, because that's the scrub stuff that all these players grew up on. You have to learn to hit a bunch of different shots. You have to learn to control it into the wind. I don't know. I mean, it's a toss-up. I think the most important thing is where you can play, you know, 12 months a year, though.
Well, growing up on the plains of Illinois, we had a lot of wind, and I tell you what, I think it does make you a little better having to deal with those conditions. So the first thing I thought of was Texas, just because you would see everything possible almost on the golf course from Mother Nature that would prepare you for a professional career if you got that far. Final question, I got about a minute. If you could pick one person as your teacher, past or present, who would it be?
Oh, good question.
I would pick the guy who I worked with, kind of my mentor, that when I decided to get into the business, was George Thomas, who was a phenomenal teacher, phenomenal player. You know, and George was a golf coach here at Notre Dame for years. I would say George, and plus he was really fun to be around.
Tim?
I'd say John Foster, probably.
There you go, pal.
Wow.
I knew it was coming.
Butch Harmon? No way, man.
I'll usually just need to tune up with John and everything's good. I just don't get to see him enough. So,
you're still working there. Together then?
I haven't seen him in spring. I got to get over there. But yeah, he's my instructor of record.
I'm still on retainer.
We should just tape you guys on the range working together, and that should be a show. I'm dead serious.
Let's do it next week. Yeah, it's a good idea.
I'm serious. When Timmy comes out, Darren, bring the whatever you use to record things. Maybe it's even a tape recorder. I have no idea. Come on out.
Okay.
It could be a lot of fun for all of us.
It'll take me 3 days to edit out some things, but we'll make it happen.
We can't do it live.
The Golf Show continues next on WSBT. We wrap up the Golf Show with what's coming up. Blackthorn Golf Club owner Tim Firestone, you're first.
Aerification is started tomorrow, so we're going to be a little sandy and dusty. We got discounted rates coming up this week. Blackthorngolf.com or 232-4653 for your tee times.
All right. And Notre Dame Warren General Manager John Foster. Okay, John, thank you. Oh, no, go ahead.
No, actually, before Tim said that, we're through our aerification, which we did early last week. And because of the rain, the greens have fully recovered. So come on out and see us.
How about a phone number?
Well, how about it? 574-631-GOLF.
I'm just trying to help.
Personal, that's my cell number. Yeah,
we'll
just
see
call
you
me,
next
I'll
week.
Set everything up.
We'll All see right. you next week. Say goodnight. Sports right. Feed on... This is a Golf Show on WSBT South Bend.